Hello, I'm Scott, a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. He struggles with relationship issues and codependency. I was born in Indianapolis, Indiana, on July 4th, 1958, the youngest of three kids. When my parents got together in 1951 to get married in the Catholic Church, they had to sign all kinds of papers saying that they'd raise their kids Catholic in their schools. Because my dad was raised Lutheran and mom was raised Catholic, they signed it, even though they didn't intend to follow through. We were all baptized Lutheran when we were born. When I was 3 months old, I had spinal meningitis. My parents were told I had a less than 50-50 chance of living, and if I did live, I'd be a vegetable. I was paralyzed on my whole left side. They said, since he's going to die anyway, why don't we baptize him Catholic to satisfy the other grandparents? Well, that was October 1958. The same month the Pope was elected that brought in Vatican II, which said, among other things, that Catholics would now accept baptisms from other faiths. Every 2 years, till I got out of my braces at the age of 10, they would take a bone from here, break it, place it here, and I was non-walking cast up to here for 6 months after each surgery. I wore braces up to here in the daytime, up to here at night for the first 10 years of my life. I was Shriners Handicapped Child of the Year for my hometown of Indianapolis, and I've had my own Easter seal. We lived in Indianapolis until I was 8. My dad came down with histoplasmosis, which can attack your lungs or your eyes. In my dad's case, attacked his eyes. If he didn't move to the Pacific Northwest, consisting of Oregon, Washington, all the way south to Redding, California, or the state of Maine, by the school year starting in 1966, he would have been completely blind. And we got to Salem, Oregon on August 16th, 1966, which was 2 days after my brother's 13th birthday. All the time in Salem and through the sixth grade, I was in the regular classes. In 1968, my parents asked me what kind of shoes I wanted for my first pair of shoes without braces. I said tennis shoes. I got my first pair when I was 10 years old. How cool is that? In 1970, we moved to Vancouver, Washington, where my dad got a teaching job. At the start of the school year that year, I was in the first sixth grade class at Dwight D. Eisenhower Elementary School. The next year, the seventh graders went to the high school, but Dad stuck me back in to special ed because he didn't want me at the high school, separating me from my friends, all my friends which were at the high school because of overcrowding. A couple months after that, I had enough, and I told my teacher exactly what I thought of her in front of the class and got kicked out. And my dad got me into the special ed class at his school for the rest of the year. I've always been made fun of growing up. It wasn't just other kids. My family would too. In 1972, I started at Lewis Junior High, where I met my best friend, Sandy. I thought she was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen, even in the movies or on TV. Because I thought she was so much on my league, I never had a chance with her. I never did ask her out. But we ended up being lifelong friends, and we're friends to this day over 49 years later. At Lewis, other than our friendship, it wasn't a very good experience. Had a few friends. I was made fun a lot. There was this one boy that I got into it with about 3 times a week. He'd make fun of my left hand and give him my right. So my special ed teacher was a wrestling coach, and he talked me into joining the wrestling team on the JV squad. I also participated in the pole vault, shot put, short and long jumps in eighth grade. I was also the manager of the varsity basketball team. That summer, I finally convinced my doctor to let me try out for football. The coach, on the other hand, wouldn't even let me try out. Instead, he made me a token manager, so I would still be on the team. He wouldn't let me try out because he was afraid I'd get hurt. I wanted my dad to go to the school district and get him fired because nobody was supposed to be turned away from turning out. But as a teacher, my dad always sided with the coach. He always sides with the educators anyway. I never went out for another sport. And I did, however, join the water polo club. Nobody could tell me I couldn't join a club after all. By that time, I was in my mid-teens and had come to believe in believer's baptism, not by immersion, not infant baptism, practiced by the Lutheran Church. I stayed in the Lutheran Church till I was 18. At that time, I joined the United Methodist Church because I was more accepted by their youth group than I was my own. I made the switch on Easter Sunday. I started an Easter sunrise service, and I got saved. There were many pastors at the service. One was the lady pastor who preached, "There's no room in the tomb, no room in the tomb of Jesus Christ for," and listed a bunch of unforgiven sins as long as my arm. And I can't tell you what any of those sins are today, but what I can tell you is I put a name to everyone, family, friends, acquaintances, or myself. And she said, "There's no room in for these unforgiven sins, just forgiven sins." I attended the services at my new church, started talking to the pastor about baptism. He said he could not baptize me because I'd been baptized as a baby. If I had not, he could. About that time, I was going to Clark Community College in Vancouver, where I met Sunshine. If you asked her how we met, she would say it was a couple of years earlier when I walked with her and her identical twin sister in a 20-mile walkathon. A little background on Sunshine and her identical twin sister were adopted when they were a week old by a 40-year-old couple who wanted to have twins in the family but didn't have any when they were having kids in their 20s. The twins, on the other hand, were told growing up that they were not their biological children, and because they were not their biological children, they were not as good as their biological children. She stole my heart. We would spend as much time as we could with each other. We would go dancing 6 nights a week because they didn't have a band on Sunday night. While at Clark College, I was invited to my first Baptist church. I talked to the pastor about baptism. He said he would baptize me because I had not been scripturally baptized, I thought. Bingo, that's what I believe. After all, Jesus said in the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18-20, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even and to the end of the world. One time in youth group, we were asked who we would like to be in the Bible and why. One of the youth said, "Lo, because Jesus said, 'Lo, I will be with you always.'" It was about that time that Sunshine and I were out dancing and ran into a friend from Clark. Sunshine had a friend from out of town staying in the motel right across the parking lot from where we were. The three of us walked over to meet the friend. When we got to the third floor, I became lightheaded, and for some reason, they both laid their hands on me and prayed for me to get cured of epilepsy. That was in February 1980. After that, whenever I would take my medicine, I would get headaches like 50, 75, 100-pound weights resting on my forehead. I called my doctor, told him what happened. He told me that he believed what happened because he was a Christian, but I'd been on this stuff for 20 years and could not get off of it cold turkey. He told me to come in, and he would put me on a schedule to be off by the end of the year. I tried that for a couple weeks and have headaches, then stop and feel fine for a couple, and then my doctor's voice would come back into my head, and the cycle would start all over again. That lasted until I got back from a trip to Lake Tahoe in Reno with my mother, father, grandmother, and a friend my dad went to school for their master's and his mom. The night of July 31st, 1980, I took my last dose of medicine for epilepsy. And the 1st of September, I called my doctor. He wasn't happy, but he said he wanted me to take a brainwave test. I had it on September 29th. About a week later, I got a call from my doctor. He said he had some good news and some bad news. The good news is I could stay off my medicine, but the bad news is that there was a slight chance I may have another grand mal seizure. And I said, "Dr. Hovig, what are the chances?" He said, "Less than 1%. Because of how I was healed by friends, I have identified with a paralytic that was lowered to Jesus through the roof by his friends in Mark 2. Sunshine and I were involved in a church that had Christian movies and concerts on Friday and Saturday nights. On December 5th, 1980, my brother Doug calls me and says that if I didn't move to Montana with him, he would kill me. Because from what he heard from Mom and Dad, he thought the church was the Moonies. He would rather see me dead than mixed up with the Moonies, which is kind of strange because he raised his kids Mormon. The Moonies are a Christian cult known for arranging mass marriages between strangers. I stayed with a guy from the church, so my brother picked me up, and we went to retrieve the rest of my clothes. He proceeded to pistol whip the pastor and another guy. My brother wanted to get out of town ASAP, but I insisted on seeing Sunshine, where I vowed I would never stop loving her and asked her to marry me, probably for about the sixth time. Sunshine told me she could never marry me because she had to marry someone her brother's age is 10 to 15 years older than her. Sunshine is 25 days older than me. I died inside at that moment. In Montana, I was convinced the only way I would ever get out, leave Montana, was feet first. I knew sunshine wouldn't come to Montana. I also knew I didn't want to be alone for the rest of my life. So I told myself, sunshine will never come to Montana. I don't want to be alone for the rest of my life. So why not get the closest thing to sunshine, even if it's only in looks, and marry her? That was the frame of mind I was in when I met my first wife, because she looked like sunshine with short hair. 48 hours after we met, we were engaged. That marriage lasted about a year and a half. When I was 27 was the first time I wanted to kill myself over sunshine. I would pray continuously, God, just get sunshine and I back together, or just take me home. Fast forward to 1996 through the present time. After going to help my brother in Phoenix, Oregon, because of not being financially able and needing to help my dad with his diabetes, and then meeting Angela, my wife, I have not had the chance to move back to my adopted hometown of Vancouver, Washington, a place where I never wanted to move away from. The last time I talked to Sunshine was in 2002. She told me she saw me not only as a threat to her marriage, but also to herself. That was the when it was over for me in my mind, because I could never be with anyone that saw me as a threat. I was a mess. I felt like I was just marking time for years, until I met my beautiful wife, Angela, in July 2005 in an accounting class, after I'd torn my chest wall at work and she shattered her ankle in a car accident, and we could not go back to our present jobs. This was only the second time in my life I told a woman that I would never stop loving her and meaning it. We got married September 1st, 2007. I have a stepdaughter and two grandkids that live right across the street from us that I love just as much as if they were my own. In 2016, I went to NA to support our then future son-in-law and started reading their books to support him, and got hit upside the head that I needed recovery myself. I started looking for a recovery group. I found Love Addicts Anonymous, but there were no local groups. I approached my church about starting a group. I was told no because of how they dealt with the higher power issue. The pastor suggested celebrate recovery at Rolling Hills. I started on April 4th, 2018. That night, I met someone I hadn't seen in 13 years, Maggie. And what he was saying is, I was working at Fred Meyer. I was one of the cart guys, and we would have to go into all the of the stores and check on them, and that's how I met them. We hadn't seen each other for 13 years, and she gave me a hug and welcomed me into the group, and that was my first experience with Celebrate Recovery. Never forget that. I was welcomed with open arms since coming to CR. The haunting memories of the past that brought me to CR have diminished about 75%. When I was in my first step study going through forgiveness, I realized for the first time in almost 38 years that I needed to forgive Sunshine for how much she had hurt me with what she said. The scripture in the 12 steps that I have always liked is the one for step 4. Lamentations 3:40. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. If anyone, if you need healing, you can get it here. If I can find healing after 40 years, anyone can. The only thing I say is keep coming back. Thank you for letting me share.